Be back here after a year, I always get invited to come back and speak during the first round of the NFL playoffs. So thanks to Dave for that. But I'm really excited, again, to be invited back. I usually don't get invited back to places. Birthdays and work. So this is a real nice treat. So thanks for letting me be here. I want to introduce you to my family who aren't here. There, my wife is serving at our home church, so she has the kids with her. So that's our 2020 family picture. Don't worry, we have our 2021 family picture. I'll show you that. We're all happy because we got our stimulus checks in that one. I want to tell you about my boy JoJo. He's now five, he's just the sweetest boy. Our neighbor, unfortunately, passed away. She was very old, and she finally, she was battling cancer for like a decade. She finally went to be with Jesus, and JoJo knew her very well. She was originally from France, so she was teaching JoJo French, and every day JoJo would go and see Miss Chris and would check on Miss Chris and ask how Miss Chris is doing. And then we had to tell JoJo, we're really sorry, big guy. Miss Chris went to be with the Lord, and she's in heaven now. Which is awesome, but selfishly, we don't get to hang out with her. We don't get to see her as much as we would like and as much as we're used to. And so we had that tough conversation with JoJo months ago after Miss Chris passed. And a few weeks ago, JoJo came up to us and he had an idea. He was like, "Daddy, can I write Miss Chris a letter? And can we tie it to a balloon and send a balloon up to heaven?" Yeah, isn't that sweet? And I had to be like, that's not how space works. So had to have that tough conversation with JoJo. This is our family picture from last year. We'll go ahead and, if you want to go to that next one. Actually, we didn't take it because of supply chain issues. So staffing supply chain issues, no 2022 picture. But I'm really glad, again, I get to have this conversation with you. I know we've been, as a church, talking about the Apostles' Creed. And this is something that the early church fathers came together and wrote together because they realized, like, it's easy to get off track. It's easy to get distracted. And so what they did was they took some basic fundamental concepts of the faith and they surmised it into this creed that we could read together, that we could sing together, and together we could say, okay, we may not agree on this, this, and this, but we could agree that Jesus is who he says he is, that the church is super important, and we could agree that God is who he says he is. And so that's what the Apostles' Creed was. That was the purpose of that. And so that's what we've been studying as a church for the last few weeks. And so the part I get to talk about today is a part of the Apostles' Creed that talks about Jesus. But before we get there, I just want to make a blanket statement. I think some of you guys will agree with this. If you lived long enough to experience this, you'd probably agree with this idea, and that idea is pretty simple. And that concept's pretty simple, and that is that the idea of relationships and that person that you experience in a relationship are two very, very different things. Right, so you can think back to when you're in high school or middle school, you had your first crush, right? And you had this idea that at some point, you're like playing with your toys and you threw them down and you're like, I want a boyfriend. I want a girlfriend instead, right? At some point, you looked on the bus and was like, that seems better than that, you know? And so you had that concept and it was this amazing idea like, oh my gosh, a relationship in middle school or high school would be amazing. Think about that. You'd always have someone to talk to. You always have someone to go with. You always have something to do. You always have these activities and all these different things. And then you got into a relationship in middle or high school. And you're like, oh my gosh, there's always this person that wants to talk to me. There's always this person that's mad at me. There's always something I've done wrong. There's all these different expectations. And it was this idea and this concept that taught you back then that the idea of a relationship is very, very different than the person involved in a relationship. And then we can extend that to marriage because we didn't really learn that lesson in high school, right? Because all of us, for many of us in here, we tried the marriage thing. And we had this idea, marriage is going to be this. It's going to be this blissful thing. And we're going to be partners. And we're going to be able to agree on everything. And we're going to have this thing. And then we're going to start a family. And with a family, we're going to have so much free time to enjoy each other. And we're going to have all this money and time. And we know, if you've been married, you have to start a family. The idea of a relationship is way different than the person in a relationship that you experience, right? Because my wife married me 14 years ago. 14 years ago, I was very different. Okay, I now snore. I have an app that tracks it, solid 2.5 hours a night. Okay, and it's not like rhythmic. It's not like, because I don't have rhythm as is. Like, I can't, I admire the band every time I go somewhere and I see incredible musical talent like we have here. And so I don't have that. I don't even snore on beat. It's just random. It's like, my wife didn't sign up for that, okay? That wasn't in the premarital counseling that we talked about, okay? Well, what happens? Okay, yeah, we have this idea. We have these concepts of relationship. We think, oh, it's going to be like this, and it's going to be so blissful. And then reality strikes us. And we have this concept, and we have this experience, too, when it comes to work. Have you ever decided you're going to work with a buddy? Like, you're going to have, you decide, like, all right, my buddy has a job there. I'm going to go work with them. I'm going to have a job with them. And you think, oh, man, I get to see my buddy. And then you realize, my buddy's a totally different person at work. They are a completely different human being. They clock in, they shapeshift into a different person, and they're corporate Cal, and then they check out, and then they're regular Cal again. And it's just a totally different person. Why? Because the idea is different than the person in a relationship, right? Ever hung out with someone you haven't seen for a long time? Maybe a family member, maybe from someone from high school, right? You have this idea of them. And then you actually go and hang out, and you're hanging out, you're catching up over some pizza, and then you experience them, and you're like, whoa. All right. You start to catch up. Man, Jack, how you been? Man, Jack, you know, the craziest story I have of you is, remember when you stole that motorcycle and you did the thing? That was crazy, Jack. Whatever happened with that? Oh, 15 years in prison. Okay. All right. That explains the tattoos. Got it. All right. Michael, you were so cool in high school. All the girls liked you, and all that. And you could talk to anyone. How you doing, man? 9 kids. Okay. All right. That makes sense. You got to go. You got to pick them all up. All right. I'll see you later. Thanks for hanging out. We have these ideas about a relationship, and then we actually experience a person in a relationship. And what's amazing with the Apostles' Creed, and I love about this, when it gets to the conversation about Jesus, it does talk about the theological aspects of Jesus. There are so many things. As we go through the statements, we're going to actually read it together. We'll see a lot of theological statements. Jesus is this, and Jesus is this. And then they sneak in a line that ties us back to the person of Jesus. So let's just read this together with me. So I'm not sure if you could see it that well, but I'll go ahead and read it. If you can follow along, that's great. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who is conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. Wow. First of all, that's incredibly beautiful. And if you don't know anything about Jesus, and if you're new here, and first of all, if this is like your first Sunday here, please come back. Like, I love Pastor Dave. I am very different from him. So, like, this is not an accurate reflection of Engage Newark, okay? So please come back next week. But if you're new to church, and if you're new to this idea of Jesus, because I want to talk about two things. I want to talk about the idea of Jesus, and I want to talk about the person of Jesus. If you're new to the idea of Jesus, this covers a good chunk of who Jesus is. This covers a good chunk that he is God and came down to earth to be with us. And when he came down to earth, he didn't live this incredible life where he just received all the worship that anyone could give him. He actually lived a life like you and I. He was the son of a carpenter. He had a tough life. He had siblings. And then later, he was actually tried and executed by his own government. And that was done by the push and the agenda of the religious people that he was trying to influence and save. And so just understanding that, we start to get this idea of Jesus. But again, the focus today I want to share with you is there's a difference between the idea of something and the actual relationship in a person thereof. So let's kind of jump into this concept with the Apostles' Creed, because I think the Apostles' Creed, in particular this section about Jesus, accomplishes some incredible things, all right? Three things that the Apostles' Creed accomplishes is, first of all, the focus. We have about 8 to 10 lines about Jesus. There is a level of focus here when it comes to the Apostles' Creed. And I love that, because when we get off the agenda, when we start to branch out on things, that's where so many times we could disagree on stuff, right? Like you and I, we could probably agree on a few things. Like we have a conversation, it's like, yeah, it's cold out. Yeah, it's cold. Okay, we could agree on a few things. But when we start to branch out, that's where disagreements could come from. If we could focus on what we agree on, we can stay in agreement together. It's when we lose that focus and start to major on minor things. Oh, you know what? Church music should be like this. Oh, you know what? I think this needs to happen in politics. I think you should be doing this. And I don't think people should be wearing this and talking like this. Oh, now we found a bunch of things that we could disagree on. So part of the beauty of the Apostles' Creed is say, hey, guys, all right, there's nothing in the Apostles' Creed about 7-day creation. There's nothing in the Apostles' Creed about politics. There's nothing in the Apostles' Creed about the role women should serve in church. All these things that are incredibly divisive, the Apostles' Creed is like, okay, let's just focus on this. We should believe in Jesus. That's fair. And when we're talking about believing in Jesus, this is who he is. He came on earth. We know that. He suffered. He died. And now he is at the right hand of the Father. Well, what about this on Jesus? Let's just focus on this. We could agree on this. And that's the beauty of unity, right? If we want unity, we should have some level of focus. Okay? There was a guy, a leadership guru, his name's John Maxwell, and one of the things that he said is there's something out there called the 1% principle. And a 1% principle is that you could find the one thing, the 1% of things that you have in common with someone, and put 100% of your energy towards that. If you want to build a relationship with someone, you find if there's a family member that you're just, things aren't working, you find the 1% that you can't agree on, and you put 100% of your energy towards that. What is that? That's just focus. That's just bringing our attention to these few things that we're going to focus on. I love the Apostles' Creed for that. The second thing the Apostles' Creed does is it creates some differentiation. Because if we're speaking in really, really broad terms, all religions are very, very similar, right? Do good things. Do right by people. If you do, good things should happen to you eventually at some point. And if you could take Holy Scriptures from one religion and you could, out of that, you could control F on Adobe and find the things that align with the other religion and another religion, and you could come up with a text that has a lot of things in common with a lot of other religions. I have a Bible and theology background. One of the things that we studied was this form of Buddhism that actually had this idea of this concept of grace and salvation. It's not about what you do, it's about what you believe, and it's about your effort. And it's not about what the results of that effort, it's just that you believe and you're trying to be the right person. And if you try, in spite of all the things that result, you could still experience salvation. And the author of the book in that particular class was just making an argument. It was like, there's a lot of similarities with other religions as well as ours in Christianity. Except Jesus. That's a big differentiator. Well, other religions believe in Jesus. Absolutely. One of my good friends is a Muslim. And we've had long conversations about faith. We've had long conversations about religion, what he believes and what I believe. And again, there are a lot of similarities. There's God, and God will punish you as necessary, and God will reward and bless you. Also, be cool with each other. And then it gets to Jesus. And if you're a Muslim, if you believe in Islam, you believe that Jesus is a prophet sent by God, but he was not God. Why? Because Muslims believe that God cannot suffer. That God would not put that pain upon himself. So that guy that actually hung on a cross, that wasn't Jesus. That was a phantom. Jesus left at that point, and that was not Jesus on the cross. Because God could not suffer pain. Wow. Just that concept alone, that differentiation in our understanding of Jesus, that's way different. Because our scriptures and our understanding of Jesus says Jesus did suffer. And he didn't just suffer on a cross. He suffered as a human being throughout his life. Jesus mourned over cities. He wept over a friend dying. And why is that really important to our faith? Because it's comforting. That, yeah, whatever we go through, when we experience loss, when we experience Miss Chris passing away, we can be comforted because we know that our Savior experiences the same loss. He knows what it's like, and he is with us in the midst of that pain. And he could understand that in a way other gods, lowercase g, cannot, because they've never been with us. And so this concept, this theological concept of Jesus, is an absolute differentiator with any other religion. And that's why this part of the Apostles' Creed is so different. If you talk with any other religion, I don't want to go into details and throw other religions under the bus. Jehovah's Witnesses, they have a very different... The difference is their concept and relationship with Jesus. It's absolutely different. And so as you start to, if you wanted to nerd out on this, not recommending you do, but if you wanted to, and you start studying other religions, what you're going to see, the differentiator is always Jesus. Yeah, there's a God that cares about you. Yeah, there's a God that started this whole thing. But it comes down to Jesus. Jesus is the differentiator. And the apostles wanted us, the early church wanted us to understand that and make that foundational to our faith. Last thing that the Apostles' Creed accomplishes is this. The Apostles' Creed anchors us into history. And I think this is so brilliant. Can we get the section, the Apostles' Creed, back on their screen? I want us to read through this. Because one of the things, so you guys know, or may not know, I'm a financial advisor. I was a pastor for 15 years. I run my own financial planning practice. And one of the things I look for, because I have to study clients' balance sheets, and I study through retirement, and I read about returns of a company and what their stock share should be in the next few years. And what I'm constantly looking for, and served me very, very well in my business, is I'm looking for what doesn't belong here. What's wrong? What doesn't fit in this? And so I'll go through a client's balance sheet. I'll go through this. And I'm like, oh, okay, you're doing this well. You're doing this well. Why don't we have a savings account number on here? Oh, I don't have a savings account. I'm like, oh, I know what's going on. Okay. Do you have a credit card? Yeah. We owe $10,000 on it. Ha! There it is. There's your savings account. And so it's been able to help. That skill has helped me really well. And so I was reading through the Apostles' Creed. I found something That doesn't belong. It's not like everything else. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. All right, pretty general statement, cool. Who is conceived by the Holy Spirit. A little bit more theological. Right now we're talking about the birth of Christ. And born of the Virgin Mary. Okay, Christmassy, I like it. Then we have this line. He suffered under Pontius Pilate. Who? Isn't that interesting? He was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. Third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. We see two names on this entire list other than Jesus. Mary, because of her theological importance, that this child that she gave birth to was not just any human. This was the Son of God, conceived by the Holy Spirit. And then we see a dude that pops in there named Pontius Pilate, right? We don't see Peter. We don't see that on the third day he rose again and presented himself to these people. We don't see that. We don't see that Thomas touched his side and recognized. No, we don't see that. We don't see the apostles in here. We don't see the early disciples. We don't see the early church. We don't see anything. The only name that's in there besides Mary, who has theological importance, is Pontius Pilate. All right. Come on, Tim. Why is Pontius Pilate in here? Oh, Pontius Pilate has historical value. You could go back into any book on Roman history and figure and find Pontius Pilate in there. He was a governor. He had a big role. All of these things have theological value, every single line in there, except one, and that has historical value. Oh, the apostles, the early church understood that we need to tie Jesus into not this idea in concept, not this idea that we had of relationships when we were in middle and high school. Oh, it's going to be so blissful, and they'll meet all of my needs and all of my insecurities. They will fill. It's going to be wonderful, and they'll never yell at me or embarrass me in front of my friends, and I'm going to have time with them and my friends. That's the idea. That's a concept. And then there's reality and history. And what the Apostles' Creed did, what they did in one particular line, they tied the life of Jesus back into history. This dude was real. He actually lived. And this was a time, if you look up Pontius Pilate, you could find the dates, you could find the location, you could understand who Jesus actually was. And the importance of that, church, is now Jesus is not a concept. Now Jesus is not an idea. Now Jesus is anchored into Scripture. And when that happens, we have Jesus that stands alone, not Jesus that's shaped by us. Because when we come up with an idea, we create and mold that idea to what is best for us, right? When you had an idea about a relationship or marriage, you had an idea that was molded by you, created by you, and shaped for your benefit. Right? That idea of marriage, whatever it was. Oh, you know what? They'll go and do this, and they'll take care of the house. They'll do all these things. They'll raise the kids. Whatever that idea was, that was eventually shattered. Whatever that idea was, that benefited you. Because that's how ideas work. All of our ideas come and exist to benefit us. And that's why the Apostles' Creed had to separate Jesus just from our ideas and put Jesus into reality. Because if it wasn't for that, we would just ship-shape Jesus to be whoever we need him to be. So then Jesus becomes our genie in a bottle. Think about the times that you were upset with God. What happened there? I'm going to propose to you, whether you like it or not, that you are mad at God because God didn't do what you wanted him to do. Now, your desire may have been completely reasonable. I wanted God to save Miss Chris. I can't believe she died. We love Miss Chris. Why, she was a good person. I am so mad. We prayed for healing, and she still passed away. God never healed her. I'm mad at God. Well, why are you mad at God? Because God didn't do what I wanted him to do. Okay. That's what it all comes down to. Scripture actually tells us that in James. Well, why do you guys argue? Why do you guys fight? Well, ultimately, it's because you didn't get what you wanted. Same things happen when you're upset with God. It's because you didn't get what you wanted from God. And what oftentimes we do is we shapeshift what we need from God. Okay, God answers our prayers. God does this. And God punishes the people that we don't like. God is independent of our desires. For you, if you've been a follower of Jesus for, let's say, longer than a decade, okay, did God ever tell you to do something you didn't want to do? Yeah. Because God is independent of our desires. Jesus is independent of our desires and our ideas. He's bigger than that. And if we don't understand that, we don't get that, then we shrink God down to be our servant instead of we're God's servant. And then Jesus only exists to fit our agenda. Oh, that hasn't happened recently, right? Like when it comes to politics? Yeah, Jesus said you should care for the poor. So this is what our political agenda should be about. It's about caring for the poor. Yeah, but you know, Jesus said sell your coat and buy a sword. So we should invest in the military and create it. Hang on here. What's happening? Oh, you have some ideas and you're creating God to fit your ideas. Is that how this thing's supposed to work? Is that how worship works? No. Is that even like, let's shrink that down a little bit. Is that how relationships and marriage works, right? Because we know that dude that believes, oh, well, a wife should do this and this and this. Yeah, he's divorced, right? Right? What happened? Their ideas became their relationship, and they never recognized the beauty of reality. So this is what I want us to do this morning. I want us to recognize the beauty of reality. And it's different than our ideas. Because otherwise, God's our servant, and we're not God's servant. It's kind of a big deal. So there's a few concepts in Scripture I want us to look at. These are things that Jesus actually said. And we could say, well, he didn't mean it like that, and that's not, oh, yeah. But now we're not talking about historical Jesus. We're talking about the Jesus that's made up in your mind. The Jesus that exists to fit your agenda. That's not the Jesus that we serve. That's not the Jesus that's written about in the Apostles' Creed. There's a couple of scriptures I want us to look at real fast. John 14:6 is huge. Again, this is Jesus, not Tim, not Engage Newark. This is Jesus saying this. Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to me, to the Father except through me. What's Jesus saying there? There's no way to God except through Jesus Christ. Ah, come on. Woo, that's a big statement because now you're saying that other religions that says like, well, there's this way to God and there's this way to God. And if we're out in nature, then we could discover God and then we could be closer to God if we believe this thing. And I didn't say this. Historical Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and a life. And how many people can get to God without me? Goose egg. No one. But they're a really good person. Hey, I appreciate that. And I'm not the one making up the rules here. Jesus said, he is the way, he's the truth, and he is life, and no one can come to him. No one can come to God except through him. But what about... No way. Oh, that's what it means to tie everything into historical Jesus. This is that we accept him and that we submit ourselves to him. Well, what about people that never... I don't know about people that never heard about him. I didn't write those rules, okay? But I know... No one can come to the Father except through him. He is the way. He's the truth. He is the doorway. There's another one that I think if we just live with the ideas of relationship instead of historical Jesus, we're going to miss out. Again, John 16, 33. Some Jesus said, he said this, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Ah, that's nice. We can all agree, like, oh, that'd be cool. All right, whether it's historical Jesus or your ideas of Jesus, we're like, yeah, God gives us peace. Awesome. We'll take that. Thanks, Jesus. Oh, hang on here. In this world, you will have trouble. Oh, crap. I just wanted the peace. There's going to be trouble? Life's not easy? You're telling me once I make the prayer and accept Jesus in my heart, it's not going to be all smooth sailing? I can't just pray and get a jet and be rich quick. In this world, you, followers of me, will have trouble. I didn't write this. I'm not running to be God. But if I was, my platform would be like, no trouble for anyone. It's all going to be easy. Just sit on a chair and take a nap, okay? Like, that would be my world. That's not the world that we live in. And that's not even what Jesus promised. He was like, guys, it's going to get rough out there. Times will be tough. But can I tell you something? If you're looking for peace, peace is not going to come from the absence of war, because there will always be wars, there will always be battles, and there will always be fights. Peace comes through me. Peace comes through Jesus. And here, take courage. I have overcome the world. I have won all the fights. Be with me. Take peace in that. One more I want to look at. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. This is the Great Commission. This is one of Jesus' last words, okay? Historical Jesus. Jesus that as Christ followers we worship. We don't worship the Jesus in our mind and our ideas and our hopes. No, no, no. We worship the God of the Bible, who gave us his son that existed at the time of Pontius Pilate. And that Jesus said this, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all these things I have commanded. And behold, I am with you until the end. Wow. Between those two statements, a previous scripture in John and a statement in Matthew, we have something that's really, really beautiful. Guess what, kids? There will be trouble. Dang. Life's not easy. Shucks. And I will be with you until the end. Wow, okay. That's Jesus. Jesus doesn't save us from all of our pain. Jesus doesn't save us from all of our troubles. Jesus doesn't pull us out and exclude us from hard times. Okay. That'd be cool if he did. But that idea would just be in my mind. It's not reality. Reality is all those things will happen. We'll experience losses. And hey, here's the good news. I'm with you. Jesus is with you till the end. You know, I'm really close with Pastor Dave, and we've had conversations, and I understand that people here and people who can't be here today have experienced some difficult times, and he talked about that. And in some ways, we could morph our religion and be like, well, they should have done this, and they should have done this, and if you only prayed, if you only did these things, and you only fasted, and you only had enough faith, everything would be okay. That's not anywhere in this book. That's not Jesus. Jesus says all those things will happen. Trouble, persecution, you name it, it's coming. And I'll be with you. That's who we need to take hold of. Guess what? Your ideas don't always work. Right, the idea of a relationship in middle school and high school, how that treat you, right? But Dad, I'm in love with her. How'd that work out, right? Can you name her? We have these ideas. Oh, you know what? I'm gonna work with this guy, and it's gonna be great. Yeah, that didn't really pan out though. And that's okay. Here's what we can hang on to. There's a real Jesus. He came and died. And he wants to be with you through thick and thin, through the good and bad. And he's there to comfort us. And we could be like him and comfort each other during these tough times. What I want us to do is I want to bring the band back up here. And we're going to worship together with one song. And I want to pray for you. Because there's this reality of Jesus that I want you to see. And there's this guy named the Apostle Paul. He wrote most of the New Testament. And one of the things, because of his relationship with who Jesus is, who he really was, not his concepts of Jesus, not his constructs of Jesus, but who Jesus really is and was, he said something that's so powerful that I want to pray that over you. And I hope that you experience that today.